meeting to order.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, we have minutes. We have the minutes from the August 2nd meeting.
I move that we approve the minutes for the August 2nd, 2016, for a second meeting.
I'll second them. Any discussion?
Not for me.
I don't have any. All in favor?
Aye.
We have the minutes from the special meeting on August 9th.
I do have some comments about it, so I'll make a motion that we approve them subject to some comments.
Yeah, sure. I'll second it. Go ahead.
The minutes as presented, and Ken, thank you for taking the minutes. A meeting called to order by you at 1:02 p.m. This is a primarily executive meeting. Present were Shana, Ken, myself, and Marie. Motion was made by myself to go into executive session to interview candidates for the secretary clerk with Ken, Shana, Steve, and Marie. Mm-hmm. Motion was seconded by Ken. Motion passed unanimously. Reading this, it implies that there were four of us there.
Yeah, this was omitted. It should have been on there, the four people.
Well, Shana was
in present. She did arrive.
Shana was not there when we started the meeting. She did not vote on that going into executive session.
Okay.
So I think we need to amend these minutes.
Okay, so we'll just omit.
She did come, but she wasn't there for that.
Not for that part of it?
Okay. Or at the opening of the meeting.
The meeting. I knew she was in attendance. You got that?
I think so. Basically, the correction is that Shana was not there when the meeting started, and she did not vote to go into executive session.
Was not there when we went into executive session and arrived. I don't know the exact time.
But isn't this the, I have a question, when we do our formats for our meetings, when we put minutes on there, historically, not just for our meeting, for other meetings, they'll put everyone who was present. Do they mark down time-wise when people come in?
No, I always... That's
correct. When Tina does the meeting, Ken recorded the minutes for this, and Ken, thank you for doing that, but I wanted to note that as recorded here, really doesn't reflect what happened. Do you agree?
I'm wondering if we're going to have a set template for all meetings, because if it says present, everyone who was present during this meeting would be listed here. However, if we put present and then if you want to just have forever on a template, like when people arrive.
Okay.
I'm just thinking that might be something that we need to discuss then, because if we're talking about continuity moving forward with all of our minutes on our website, might be a discussion that we'll want to have.
We typically
because
do record.
Because not just with us, but with
we
other
typically
departments.
Do show when people arrive, for our meetings anyway, we typically do show late arrivals. Tina, may I ask you again?
Yes, I typed it in already when Shana walked in. Okay. And usually what I do on at the beginning, if I have someone listed as present, but they came in the middle of the meeting or left, I put in parentheses next to their name. Entered at
okay.
As recorded,
we should do that for all.
You know, as recorded, this implies, not doesn't state it very clearly, that four of us voted unanimously.
Okay, so we take Shana's name out, which makes sense. I got no problem with it. Okay. And then we just add one sentence that Selectman Smith arrived after the group went into executive session.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. It wasn't on my notes when I handed it to Marie to type up. Okay. No, that makes perfect sense, Steve. Thank you.
subject to those changes, I would vote, if you want to take the vote on it.
Yeah, do you have any discussion, Shannon?
On this? No, I already said what I said.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Very good. Okay. Good pickup, Steve. Correspondence. There isn't much. One of the letters that we sent out for the energy plant in Killingley came back from DEP, the siding council. Did you get a copy of it?
No, I did not get a copy.
Oh, I did ask, I thought it was me. It just came back that it said to us, it was dated August 11th, that siding council received our letter August 2nd. Thank you for taking the time to provide the council with your comments. Please be advised the council has not received an application for this proposed facility at this time. And it went on and on, and I'll leave you a copy, but there's nothing on file at this time. They just wanted us to know that. So I will give you a copy, and you've got the building permits report from the building office. And you also did receive a letter from Mr. Babbitt that was addressed to all of you in response, and I will touch on that in the comments after. So that was the correspondence. It was a very quiet couple of weeks. Do you have any correspondence, Steve?
No.
Shannon?
No.
Okay. I got a lot of comments. If you would prefer to go, you know, first, if you got anything.
I got a couple, but go ahead.
Okay. All right. Aquatic Road Bridge is closed. The deck has been removed. They discovered some abutment issues. Additional work is required. It is still with the change order of $34,077.21 is still within budget. At the time when I wrote my note, CLA is on top of it. The go has been given to the contractor to move along because we are looking at deadlines, and I did hand you out from the just so that way to see the rocks that were in the abutment as to the stuff that they need to do repairs.
Does it change the timing?
We're waiting for an answer on that.
Okay, thank you.
I do not know the answer on it. That was posed to the engineer.
Thank you.
Okay. So, but it's just to show you what was unexpected when they did the backing behind the abutments and going in, that's what they uncovered. So there was no way of knowing that till the deck was off and everything was dismantled. Sewer, we're still searching out the best avenue to complete the drilling of that. A variety of experts and stuff are still trying to figure out the best avenue to go with that.
Is this a fixed price project
on the
sewer?
Yes, there is a fixed price that they can't go over. I think it's $2.4 million.
So, you know, the fact that they're having troubles, it's a problem, but it's not going to affect the cost to us.
Nothing affects the cost to us because Trinity is picking up the all the costs associated. Well, that's the Trinity Foundation,
okay.
Which is picking it up.
So the contractor has got the problem essentially.
Well, there's cost issues.
Timing issues and stuff like that.
There's a whole bunch of issues that are going on, and right now we're at a standstill because of trying to get under the highway.
All right.
And they're trying to figure the best avenue, and you know, there's a variety of things in the contract and so forth, but until they're addressed and so forth and presented for cost, and we don't know where it'll be or what, you know, contingency that's built into the contract and so forth, that I don't know.
Oh, okay.
All right, so I can't answer it.
It's not gonna...
We're still trying to bring it in at the 2.4 million, which was approved by two town meetings.
Okay.
Okay.
So maybe it's still to be explored then?
We don't know.
Okay.
So right now, we're still trying to get this thing done under the highway and figure out where we're going from there. So, but there's no movement there. Currently, Leo has, the past couple of weeks, has been out. They've been painting some lines on the roads, Wilsonville, East Thompson Road. He's still got to do sand dam. He's been catching up with the vacations and so forth with the staff. He's been accomplishing a lot of the various assigned small jobs that have been needed and performed, such as curbing, some backfilling, a variety of things, as well as the mowing and everything else with that. Okay, which brings us next to Norm Babbitt. Norm had filed, which you saw the last letter, had some concerns. I had gave it to the highway department. Leo went out, did his review of everything, and I sent Norm back a response. Norm did not like the response. Okay, he still feels that Spicer and East Thompson Road, in his opinion, is a dangerous intersection.
Well, you did address some of the issues.
Yes, but I'm just saying, he had concerns about that. He didn't agree with it. One sign was ordered. Based on his initial, it was the wrong end of the road that he asked for the sign, but Leo found that the other one at the other end was missing. He was concerned about the curbing at the end of Buck Hill Meet and Quartic Town Farm Road that had been taken out during plowing. Leo said he's right, it was taken out, but Leo does not wish to put it back in because the road drains properly without that curbing there. Norm responded to that and did not agree with the way I worded it and the fact that it didn't go back in. He would also like a sign at Buck Hill where it meets Quartic Town Farm Road, that there's no Quartic Town Farm Road sign. And we do not do that every time a street intersects another street. It's just the streets. Norm did not like that. He feels that there should be one there, and his opinion. After that, because if we do that, we got to figure every street that we have in town, you start a precedent, and we'd be adding a ton of signs to every one of these streets. You know, we usually put a sign at each end of the road that this is the beginning of Quartic Town Farm, Buck Hill, whatever. Number five, we ordered the sign that was for Dutton Road. It was missing. And he wants another sign at Buck Hill on the Rhode Island line that says, "Welcome to Connecticut." Okay. We've never done that before. So.
Doesn't the state pay for those signs?
On state roads, yes. Mm-hmm. And you get the governor's picture, whoever the governor.
And we have the,
the
Chamber of Commerce sign.
But any of the streets coming in, you'd be talking about, quickly off the top of my Elmwood Hill Road that comes out of Rhode Island.
Yeah, multiple roads.
Yeah, so you got Buck Hill. There's a couple on East Thompson Road.
I get a couple from Massachusetts.
Yeah, you got Massachusetts.
There's
whichever
about 17 campuses. When I put up all those signs for the thank you for keeping Thompson clean,
yeah.
So, I get everyone coming in. I think there were 17.
17 signs. So. Leo was going to estimate, just to show what the additional cost if we went along with what
the
suggestions were by Mr. Babbitt. So that is what you did receive. So that is the explanation. Brandy Hill Road Bridge has been a topic of conversation about the kids jumping off the bridge. Leo did get a fencing company out there to give us an estimate. And we are going to put a fence on that bridge, come up and keep the kids from doing it. We're waiting for the contractor to come in and install that. Everybody, I know, I don't know if you checked your email, we do have a FOIA class on Thursday the 25th here, at next week, at 10:30 and 1 a.m.
1 a.m.?
I mean 1 p.m., sorry. Just for you, Paul, 1 a.m. 1 p.m., so...
And that's here?
That's here, right here in the community room. Emails went out to all staff.
When did it go out?
Monday? Monday or Friday? No, I think it was Monday, because Tom Hennick has been on vacation. Whatever, I don't have the email in front of you, but it did go out, requesting who could make what class, because we do have some offices that just, you know, to get people to come over and see what we can do. So that has...
This is just like an hour class?
Pretty much, and whatever conversation that goes along with it. I think it would be similar to what he's done when he's come out before.
Because I attended back in, I don't know, November or thereabouts. It was like a half-day class on FOIA. So obviously I'm not sure. Okay.
We asked Tom if he'd come on and put out a couple of FOIA classes, and he said he would be more than happy to. So we got him down to that. This week, this past week, we were served with two summonses for court. One is the labor union issue on the pension, that we have one in arbitration. Okay. I think I mentioned it before. It actually got filed. So that will be moving forward. That's been forwarded up to the labor attorney, as he's the one that had done the arbitration on that. And the inlands, wetlands, and town was served by Attorney Slater on behalf of his clients for the permit issued for property referred to as Star Road, and that has been forwarded to Town Attorney St. Amish. Okay. Nothing to report on the library HVAC. Still working on info for Eversource to get costs that can be savings through their program. They added in a bunch of pumps and different things, and they're waiting. They're currently working with our New England mechanical that services the stuff down there now to make sure that whatever specs and so forth they're coming up with is accurate. CME has started the process on the back parking lot out back to the boundaries. So as soon as I get that information from them, we will be discussing that at a selectmen's meeting, because that'll have to go to P&Z and then to town meeting after. Mm-hmm. Okay, remediation at the town garage has been, as you know, we went out for the referendum for the loan on the various remediations. I did have a discussion meeting with Service Station Inc. And our bill was just a tad under $118,000, and we negotiated down to $105,000. Okay. Selectman's update went out this week in the Sharper's Guide. Anybody that gets their mail from the 06277 zip code, got them. The other three zip codes did not. When we spoke to Sharper's Guide and said we want to put out the zip code to the people in Thompson, they forgot the other three zip codes and only told us X number of households for that one zip. So we're going to work on that this week to get it out for the next issue next week. Beginning yesterday morning, we caught Zepco virus ransomware, similar to the one that we had a few months back, that hit the building, and our computers have been down. Chris got them up and running at the end of the day, about 6 o'clock tonight. Everything is back up and going. So we've been, today was a day of no computers or anything. but we got it back up. And with the backups and stuff that he does on the servers, it gets that. So we got that squared away. So that's just a little FYI. And anybody knows anything about the viruses and so forth, these ransomwares, these attacks come on a regular basis. And with the industry, we're always reacting to them after they come.
Are they able to trace the origin? Is Chris able to do that?
Chris looked at it. He found out what it was when it entered in. It was on three different computers in the building.
Okay.
So that's all he knows. And online, it was, I think the other one was Lockheed or something to that effect, the last one that came in a few months back. And right on, when he Googled it and got his information to, you know, to help deal with it and find out what it does and doesn't do, because every, you know, it said that this was the next one since Lockheed to create the havoc. So that's what I've got. Shayna?
Nothing.
Steve?
Maybe I don't want you to send me that notice about the ethics, the FOIA. I did send a little sort of tried to send you a better description of what would be for Leo description. I did send to you, but I sent to Leo, but I understand he doesn't read his email. So does somebody pick it up for him in the Stephens office?
Picks up his mail.
He picks up his mail every day.
Does he get email at all?
We send it to him.
You send him, okay. Well, I send
we
him,
do send it to him.
I send him an email. I don't know how it gets to him. So we'll get it. Will he actually get it?
Well, he should get it. It should be there.
Well, does he read it, I guess, is the question.
That's a question that I've got to ask Leo.
I'll print it off then and bring it in.
Okay.
But I think the way to sort of my question on the road cost in terms of what the road might cost is try to think about it as if he was quoting it to, if he was going to repair a road in another town. What would he want to charge them, kind of thing? Let's take a look at it that way. You were asking me, you know, what kind of guidance to give him about what I'd like to see. That's what I'd sort of like to see.
So if he was a contractor.
If he was going to do this for Woodstock, what would he charge Woodstock or Buckland or some other town? That's kind of a way to look at it.
Well, one of the well.
So depend on, I would think it would depend on demographic and like where you reside. Litchfield okay. County might get a. I'm not.
No,
I don't know, but
it's for here. But
you're
but
if comparable towns.
Yeah, if he was doing it for someone else, what would he want to charge them? So that's kind of what I'm.
So you'd be that it's like the town was a contractor. It's basically
yeah,
what
exactly,
you said.
Yeah, something like that. Okay. You know, I'm not asking him to spend his life doing this.
No, but that's what you...
If you
were being a contractor, what would you
yeah,
charge?
Yeah, exactly. Something along those lines. I don't want to go nuts. I don't want to spend his life doing this at all. No. Not even close. But some idea of what it costs us to do these roads. And it was really inadequate last time. It was the least you could do was to calculate how much asphalt he would use. That really was not appropriate. And also like the top 10 roads. I think he only did a few of the roads. So there were 40 roads or 42 roads or something I had listed on the list. If he would do the top 10, please. I was need to do 40, but maybe the top 10 would be nice.
Did you send them that in an email?
Yeah. So if he doesn't get it, I'll print it out and drop it.
Well, if you want, why don't you send it to Marie?
Okay.
And when you get home, send it to Marie.
Sure.
We'll put it in his box for tomorrow morning, and okay. I'll have a chat with him when he comes in.
Okay. And again, I'm not trying to
no, that's
any big burden, but if you need some guidance,
then I'll remind him to look at his emails.
That would be what I would like. And I kind of laughed when you talked about painting lines, because Wilsonville Road lines, I don't know who did them or what they were drinking when they did them, but they're almost kind of funny, to be honest with you. They're really kind of weird, so I'm not sure what the equipment is or the equipment
it's,
problem or whatever, but it's almost funny.
It's not a truck.
I don't know what it is. But
No, I'm just, it's not a truck like you see that normally does them.
Okay.
Okay, it is a, I think it's like a small go-kart, if you want to call it, with four wheels, the paint sprayer is set up, and one of our guys sits on it, and okay. It's probably a dozen feet long, and I'm it's rough,
okay.
But I haven't seen it in a long time.
I mean, it's not the worst
and
thing.
They it's go down.
Way down the road, it's kind of,
so. You know.
Anyway,
so, point taken.
I guess cars these days are do have lane-sensitive equipment now. I'm not sure how exact it really is, but if cars are really using lane-sensitivity equipment to keep them on track, if the lanes are really off by much, I don't know if there's maybe even a safety issue down the road. If somebody follows these lines, they're going to be going nuts.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that or what the requirements would be.
I'm not sure how precise it really is.
Yeah, I mean,
they really do follow these lanes.
Most people like the lines in the road because it's...
Oh, definitely. It's better than
especially on these roads that are not lit up, it gives them the center line to stay on the road. Because, I mean, if you look at the state roads, you also have a shoulder line of what they call a fog line as well to keep you within your lane.
Absolutely, yeah.
So at least if we have a center line out there, it should keep you on the road and so forth.
Have you been down Wilsonville Road?
No, I just was down East Thompson Road, and it had a few waves to it here and there. I'm not going to disagree with you.
But again, that's all for me.
Okay. Okay, citizens' comments. Mr. Landry.
Al Landry, 33 Randall. First, I want to pick up on the roads where Steve was. Used to be when a road intersected, you know, another road's coming off, they would stop the lines and there'd be an opening. Now they have double passing lines. Accidents waiting to happen. I've seen this in a few places around town. I don't understand the reason for this. A blank let you know that there's another road you can cut into. It's double passing lines, especially there on corners where I've been seeing them. People are idiots. Let's not help them. Seems we've been having to change our travel because of the bridge. Brandy Hill Road's getting to be in pretty rough shape. Barbon Road is falling apart. You know, we have to use that now. We don't use those roads too much normally, but they're in bad shape. All right. I want to talk about the buses. They're talking about getting rid of the fleet, which I think is a big mistake. Every town that does it sounds good when they do it, and then as soon as they have to re-up their negotiations, they find they're biting a big one because they've gotten rid of the buses, their drivers, you know, everything goes along with that. But what I want to talk about, and I'm pretty sure this is in our plan of conservation and development or somewhere else you would know, it's in some emergency plan, I believe. Buses are to be used for emergencies, such as moving kids from the school in an emergency or moving people from elderly housing in an emergency. What will we do about this if we don't have our own bus? I hope someone's going to look into this, because this could have really serious repercussions. I had one more thing. Steve, any answer?
Okay. Yeah, Steve, could you respond?
I don't have an answer for it. I brought that same question up to Superintendent Jolin, that I'm concerned they have an evacuation up there. Where are the buses coming from? Are they coming from the town garage? Where are the drivers coming from? Are they coming from Donaldson, Hartford? Where? And, you know, yeah, I know I'm a taxpayer. It's nice to save money. But not for the life of one kid. I'll pay the higher taxes. And that's just how I feel about it. And I told him. And
well, he's not from Charleston. Let's see here.
Yeah. But I mean,
I'm being blunt, but that's how I feel about him.
We got to think of the safety of the kids in Thompson.
Right. I've seen them come barreling down these parking lots during emergency things that they've done. But that might not be where you can send them. You know, so... You know, depending on what the emergency is. And if we do get rid of our fleets, I hope they're not going to be stored at the town garage, but we'll have his room for himself and let these people figure out what they're doing. And I got one other thing. I am concerned with Steve about this, about the emergencies, you know, not only for the school kids, but for people in elderly housing, you know, and other people. It could be for everybody. I see that we've gotten another grant for the mill down here when I was coming out of the library. You know, they keep receiving grants, they do nothing. They didn't even put all the windows in. when they got the window grant forever ago. When are we going to stop throwing money at that place? Tear it down, put something nice up. You know, it's like, I don't get it. You know, it's like, they've gotten handfuls of grants, and it still looks like a dime. That's my opinion. Thank you. Oh, if you could just tell me what the grant's for. It just has a big sign with your name on it and Roy's name on it.
That is for the, it's required by DEP, whoever administers the grant for the, exactly what we did at the buildings, phase one, phase two, phase three, go as far as we can with the $218,000 and get as much of the, what the hazards are, what it's going to take to clean it up, stuff that we have to deal with, and if there's anything left, what the, what it can be used for, redeveloped in the future.
For your own information, all three of you, there in the courtyard, which many people don't know, in the middle of that mill, there's an opening where the canal came through. There's a hazardous waste site. It's on a map that's in the town hall here. That needs to be addressed. Thank you.
Who's next?
Let me make one.
Glad to see you.
I do want to, one thing I forgot to mention, I do want to talk about this past the weekend. Steve and I hosted another session on the active shooter class. A number of fire departments, or local fire departments attended. He also brought in armor-resistant vests for the fire departments, and he really deserves some recognition for what he did. I mean, he really did a great job. Hopefully we wasted our time, that's what I said. Hopefully we wasted our time and we'll never need those vests. But if we ever do, we're going to thank him more than we can imagine. So, Steve, I want to thank you for that. Great job.
Thank you. A lot of people that came to the first session that opened their eyes to what could happen. And the second session, I think the ones that did the practical realized it's not as easy as they thought it was to get somebody out of a situation like that, even with cover from the police. I mean, it's all pick them up and carry them. It's not roll in with a stretcher and roll them up. It's a lot more difficult than they really think it is, and with the cops yelling at you, hurry up. I saw some EMTs that were seasoned EMTs getting nervous because they were having a rush.
Again, thank you very much for working with me. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. I was hoping that you were going to comment. No, that's fine. I'm letting it needed to come up.
I'm Ramon Jameson, Taylor Road. I heard something on the radio the other morning about the solar project and the school and your board, and I think it was the owner of the land, maybe was quoted. There seems to be some hold up now, or school board wants to sign the papers. Can you tell me anything about this? When's the paper published?
I'll comment very quickly. Past administration had started conversations with a developer behind the school and behind the town hall on a solar field for 21 acres. It was moving along, a variety of discussions that transpired. There was no commitment by the town or the school to partake anywhere. The contractor, developer was moving forward, thought it was a viable proposal, went out for his zero renewable energy credits, and did get them, and the project is good to go, and he would like to re-entertain having some discussions on that to the and bring it to a public informational meeting for people to listen and ask questions, answer, you know, questions and answers, and where it goes from there, we'll find out from that. To be considered, correct.
Thank you. from what I heard on the news report, but okay.
I mean, but that's wrapping it up pretty, you know, pretty summarized as to where we're at. Anything else?
Thanks for doing the letters for the plants, standing the plants, both of them. I appreciate your standing up for people down in that way.
Yeah, the board agreed it was the proper way to go. Okay.
Now, follow up also on your return of the letter that you mentioned on Monday this morning. They were saying the MTS or the one in the table, they are saying they're going to be submitting their plans to the site council. I think we're going to lose something like that.
Okay. Oh, so we were ahead of the curve just with that.
Yeah, kind of the upstairs of the way the other one.
Okay. You're welcome. Anybody else? Mr. Bear.
I missed your last meeting where you had an individual that was promoted or was being considered as an alternate for the EDC. I think it's important to make sure who you were putting up for positions. The individual was the chairman of the Fire Text Advisory Committee, resigned and left that work incomplete, walked away, got involved in numerous things in town and seemed to take over. There was a solar advisory committee. The committee went by the wayside. They had done a lot of work and got involved with that. The individual was on the board of directors, was the treasurer of an organization in Worcester for social services for seniors. And it went bankrupt, leaving social services scrambling with questions about expenditures, federal funds instead of for services or expenses. Here's documentation. I know a vote was taken, and Mr. Selectman, you abstained. You are the chief executive officer of the town. You're elected to manage the town's affairs, which are the people's affairs. And I don't think abstention is appropriate. You are being paid to do a job, and not to not have an opinion on something isn't in my opinion, it's appropriate. Along with that, some will be familiar with this, called a code of honor. A cadet will not lie, cheat, steal, or tolerate those who do. This is framing. And I think town citizens deserve more. Our officials to be held accountable and to a higher standard, or at least a decent standard. The town's incurring legal bills that the town cannot afford. There really is no return on investment for the taxpayers. The town attorney may be out there shopping for new Bentley with how much money he's making off this town in the past year. And it's going on and on. And you know you were served. You're now going to the court system, which Connecticut's court system can drag on and on and on. We had issues with the fire department. I don't think it was an adequate evening of questions. It was brought up that you had people in the fire department who had criminal backgrounds, and the hard questions weren't asked. And there was just too much apologies. It needs to be open. There's a seminar coming up in the fire service, and they have numerous classes to discuss things. Mayday for Mental Health, proving your worth. That the fire departments in this town don't come before this board or the Board of Finance to show what value the citizens are getting and how much it really should cost. the privileges of leadership. You have fire officers, Mr. First Selectman, you're a lieutenant in the Quinnipiac Fire Department. That's a class that says you lead from where you're at. Whether you're chief, lieutenant, member, there should be some leadership. And these classes, I would be willing to put up miles for a airline ticket to send a representative from the town of Thompson to this seminar put on by the fire, for the fire service. As numerous speakers and chiefs doing presentations on numerous topics. Here's the ones that I thought were
applicable and appropriate.
In October in Knoxville, and I'd be happy to donate some frequent flyer miles for an airline ticket and have someone go and participate. A few years ago, we had another solar project that the town was looking at getting into. And I'm sure Kenny remembers this photo. This was the corporate headquarters of that solar company. Came with free breakfast. The current company that you're looking at doing a solar project with, this is their corporate headquarters. On their website, there was three individuals involved with the company. One being the gentleman that's come here to do the presentation, another gentleman, and a third individual that they list as a consultant, as an engineer. He owns or operates an engineering company, registered in Massachusetts, not authorized to do business in the state of Connecticut. The other individual is the CEO of a company in Minnesota. And those are the only individuals listed for this company. This company put together apparently a proposal, I believe on the same level as what the town is considering in Weston, Connecticut, which is where the company is headquartered. And the town of Weston apparently decided that they didn't want to proceed with the program. And is now being sued by a company for future profits, lost profits. One of the documents there shows an expert witness attend that they've already proposed or have a contract once this gentleman gets the project going, he's selling off the project to another investor. The Solar Advisory Committee spent a lot of time developing an RFP. They put it out there. They had companies come to a pre-conference. And then I think, I don't remember quite exactly how many companies there were, somewhere in the neighborhood of 9, 12, and only, say, 3 or 4 bid on the job. I was at the meeting, one company sent a letter stating they did not bid or put in a proposal because they didn't feel there was adequate time to do a proper proposal for what was being asked. When I asked at the Solar Advisory Committee meeting if they had contacted the other companies that spent time to come to Thompson to look at the project, why they didn't put in a proposal, to find out. If they took time out to come here, they were interested. Why didn't they put in the proposal? That would have been a simple 2-line letter to them. Please let us know why you didn't feel you were interested in doing the work. They said no, they just dropped it. This gentleman came into town, came came before the Board of Selectmen at the time, Dog and Pony Show, stroked the Board of Selectmen, telling them how smart they were and how much they knew about solar power and projects. Everybody felt good, and this thing has kind of morphed. I would hate to see the town of Thompson end up like the town of Weston. Weston has a little bit more money than the town of Thompson. Because in the Winnie article, they already talked about they've spent $100,000 on this project so far. To me, that was a red flag going up, a warning. But the next thing you're going to be included on is the complaint signs. There are companies, I gave Solar Advisory Committee, name of a company that I came across called REC Solar. They do projects. They have engineering staff, they have manufacturing, they have installation people. They actually do something other than paperwork. It wasn't a promotion for me to them. I didn't know them. They happened to be from town I lived in California. They have a sizable engineering staff and financing. It was pick their brain. These people do these projects. Their customers include IKEAs, Costco's. They have a list of them. They have a website. It's like they have the information. They have what you should be looking at. They do it day in and day out. You get tied up to a company that's like KGCI. It's a middleman. You're paying middlemen. They're coming in, they're selling you one thing, they're selling it off. Next thing you know, you got five people involved, and none of them have laid a shovel in the ground. But they all took their chunk. The town needs to be cautious. This happened before. I don't understand why it went down the road. This is public information. As the selectmen, you found out, the judicial website, it's real easy to find. That happens to be another issue, but...
If before we go to, is this a different issue from the satellite
the
solar?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
And this is the engineering company that's listed. They're registered in Mass. Appears to be a one-man shop. Interestingly enough, on their website, under recent clients, they don't even list this solar company. I personally find that a little interesting, that if they're a client, they do a lot of work with them. You would think that it would be listed. And this was the search on the Secretary of State's website. Sorry, I didn't have multiple copies. Right.
I would ask that you review those documents because I think that says a lot. This is not old history. This case is pending currently in the courts. That it was just filed last year. And again,
Steve,
attorney's fees are getting out of control. That's a waste of money that could be going to better resources. Whether it be fire departments or services for the community. Thank you.
Anybody else? Al?
Al Andrews.
Secretary through Randall. I'd just like to talk about the soil a little bit. The man who was proposing it was on Winnie Talkshaw for about 20 minutes the other day, and the information I gleaned from there is quite different than what you've said. That's his view against your view, so. There used to be a renewable energy committee in town led by Joe here, who has Sun Edison coming to the school. They are hot to trot. They were just done, I think it was Staples and UNFI, the food services. No cost to the town. They would bring the solar panels, put them up, take care of them. And the deal was the day the power went on, that was CLP's rate that day was your rate for the next 10 years. At the end of 10 years, that day's rate was your rate for the next 10 years. Didn't happen. You're probably never going to see a deal that good again. Then I want to talk about, I went up to Burrillville to their public hearing with the State Department of Health taking information from the public. 4-hour meeting, they said, we started at 5:30, they said, we'll run till 9:30 if people have comments. I did talk about 2 million gallons of oil, the 40,000 gallons of ammonia, the tanker trucks of hydrogen, how it's an accident waiting to happen, or worse yet, an easy target for terrorism. A couple other emergency people got up after and talked about how this is going to be horrible if anything goes wrong up there. He goes, we need a plan. We know we need to know where help's coming from. A lot of intelligent talk, a lot of people talked about the well that had been capped off because it was cancer, and they talked about the family members that died of cancer and stuff. It was very sad. And it seems that that company has switched a little something. The state capped that well off forever. Well, forever is here quicker than the car is. And it said the well is not to be used. Well, when they're doing their paperwork, they said the well will not be used for drinking. That's not what the state said. It's capped off. It says capped off. Every family that got up and talked about their family members brought that family up. That's a pretty important thing to talk about. I was very glad to be there. It was a pretty sad night. A lot of scientists got up and talked. Health board gave no feedback whatsoever. They just listened. So, I just wanted to let you know that things are moving on. There's other people from town in the clock that night. I just wanted to keep you updated that there's been a lot of stuff moving up there. Vermont's right when he said, they said within the next week they are filing for the Kiln Lake power plant. So maybe you'll have to send your letter again.
All right, thanks, Al, for the update. Anybody else? Okay, the public information meeting on solar, September 7th. It's a date that is available at the library. The company that we were just discussing wishes to come down. We also have another solar field that's going in that also got zero renewable energy credits that's currently generating as we speak over in Mechanicsville at the hydro plant. And since we're talking about solar, I invited him as well to come down and speak.
Very good.
And because he did approach us, he did have a quick meeting with me several months ago that he was looking into this, and not much more. It was a very brief discussion. He's going to come down as well, and I did get information on the one that's going up at Ballard, the field that's going up there, and I'm going to reach out to them if they wish to come down and talk as well. And because it's one field that is, I think, anyway, they're all the credits are there. They're in the process of moving them forward. So. I think having the group come in and doing that will give a variety of information as to what is available out there. Your thoughts?
Will the select committee be there, or have they been notified?
We haven't sent out anything as of yet.
Okay.
The only one that has been aware is the school. I did let Dr. Jolin know, and I have spoken with a few of the members of the Board of Finance when I've run into them. So, and they wish to partake as well. So I am going to, Mary Ann did give me the information today. I'm going to reach out to see if they wish to come down. So tentatively, it's booked at the library, and we'll move forward with that. So we'll have Say What, unless he back, Mr. Zeleny from Say What. He's, like I said, current hydro. I'm going to reach out to the gentleman for the Ballard, and of course, it's Say Charles. So we'll have three coming in.
Could we have, is the Renewable Energy Committee, is that inactive?
It's been just in about 10 years, if you want. Seven.
Okay. Yeah, they haven't done anything in a long time. But any of their input is more than welcomed.
Well, we met what we were supposed to do. So
right.
Once you met that, then they formed a new committee called the Solar Committee, and I don't know why they didn't ask us to get back together if they didn't.
I'm not sure what transpired with that back then. I know we did try and get, you know, input from them, and I don't know if there wasn't any interest or whatever. I can't answer. I have no idea. Joe would have more of a, if they reached out to you at all, I don't know.
So let's go to the seventh meeting and see what happens.
Could you, if you're still speaking with, or know the members, would you mind just letting them know of that date? Thank you. I appreciate it. And perhaps we should just look at that too, but just for discussion purposes or some history. When we first were introduced to the solar company, we did have a meeting with the solar committee at the time to get their input and their feel on this type of project, because they have been looking at a few different options. So they were aware of the project, yes.
And how much participation did they have?
Well, you have to understand that there were not that many members of the solar committee and or all that were present, and one of the members was also on our board. So I don't, you know, basically the discussion was that it was the kind of project that I think that they were in line with doing. Just
you mean
based
the renewable
on that
energy.
Type, that type, yeah, of project.
But you have to pick the right one that fits best for the town.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, we will reach out. We will get an article in the Villager. I'm sure WINY will take a story on it and promote that, and we will advertise that in the Shopper's Guide as well. So, everybody in the...
Go ahead. The date is... the seventh is, you have to have talked to any of the potential presenters.
SHR can make it. Mr. Zeleny can make it. I did speak with him.
I didn't realize. Okay.
Yeah, no, both of those will come. And I just remembered after the this morning when we were, I was having conversation with the planner that I forgot about the you know, the project over there. Over on Ballard, so I'm going to reach out to them as well and offer them to come in and if they wish to partake. Tentatively, the meeting will be for 7 o'clock unless we feel we need more time and start at a half an hour earlier. And I'll know more of that when I speak with, if we get the one from Ballard.
Okay.
And we'll go from there. So I'm good with this. I'll entertain a motion to move forward with it and set it up.
Are you going to motion to do this?
Sure.
How would you like it phrased? I'd be happy to.
That we set a public information meeting?
Okay, I move that we establish a public information meeting regarding solar energy for September 7th at 7 p.m.
At the community...
At the community center?
Community center.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Okay, moving on in the agenda. The, we do have, the subject is the Ellen Larned Museum Library roof that we all discussed during the budget process. We're all very familiar with that. At that time, we had requested $150,000 on that resolution.
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. In your packets, I hope it's there. Did you get a copy?
Yeah.
Okay. During the, what do you, when we were deliberating during budgets, and I had Mary Ann reach out again to see what USDA was at currently, and the figures were through 9/30 at 2.75%. She put out 10, 20, 30, 40 years with the monthly payment, annual, and the total cost of the project based on the years. I will be presenting this to the, you know, finance board as well, just to give them a idea of what the finances would be on this and go forward. I mean, it ranges from 10 years at a just under a $23,000 payment to 20 years at $13,030, at just under 10 and 40, just over $8,000 as an annual payment to do this roof.
This is now a $200,000 loan.
And I'm going to explain that.
Sure.
Okay, and that's why Mr. Rice and Mr. E. Martino are here from the Historical Society. So at this point, I will let either John or Joe explain where we're at on this and the, besides we know what the need is.
I don't know, did you get Mary Ann's sheet, is that what you were looking at?
No, this is a very summary, it only shows the payments that's the rates.
Thing, okay.
So it's very minimal.
Yeah, she just gave me the updated on...
The interest of, you know, you're looking at, the quote that we had was $149,000 and some change. Well, talking with Ola, the finance person, when you bond, yeah, you do have to bond that because it's so... loan that for the town, and that's between $20,000 and $25,000. So that kind of boosted up to 175, and with a contingency of 18,000, which was 10%. So we're up to that $200,000.
But what is the bond for?
Well, the bond is that every time the through the USDA, if the town is going to borrow money.
Yep.
The town has to take out a bond or an insurance policy.
Yep.
Stating that the town is capable of repaying that loan.
Okay.
And
it's $25,000.
Well, we put in, it's only estimated between $15,000 and $20,000 for that. Yeah, I know, I took a step back on that one, but that's what she says it costs. And we allowed $5,000 for the town attorney, because he'll have to review all the contracts that we have. So that kind of put it up to the 175, and then you're looking at a contingency. So that brings it up to that 200,000. We add, well, demolition and removal in the event of the material. We put in $18,000 for that.
On a couple of occasions.
I mean, these are just estimates.
Fair enough, I appreciate that. A couple of occasions I've asked about a grant. Every time I get a, what are you talking about, Steve? Help me out. Why does everybody seem to say no grant or something inappropriate or something? So just tell me, what am I missing?
The USDA? The USDA?
I don't know who.
Yeah.
Just help me out. Just every time I get a blank stare or it's inappropriate or something, just help me out, please.
No, that's
what am I missing?
The USDA already told us, because I've been to a meeting several months ago, they do not have money for that. For grants.
Okay.
For loans, they have money coming out of...
Okay. Are there other grant sources that might be approached?
Yeah. But the other one, the historical grants that are available, it's limited to $10,000.
Okay.
and that's it, either in kind or it's a matching. The majority of them are matching.
This is certainly matching more.
Yeah, but up to $10,000.
This is $200,000, so yeah, it matches 10.
Yeah, but they wouldn't, you can't get a grant for $200,000.
I understand, but we matched at least the 10.
We, just a quick comment, we've put in twice already for 1772 grants we received.
I understand.
One helped put a roof on the other building,
which
was funded completely by the historical site with donations.
Yep.
This building, we did get a grant. We were able to at least stabilize the building to a point, and it's failed. This is the third time we've tried to stabilize it.
When did we get that, the grant for this building?
Last year.
Last year.
2015.
Yeah, 2015.
Okay.
So we've attempted to go as high as we can go for any grant-making organizations, and we hit the limit now. So sorry.
I'm trying to understand, because every time I'm asked, I get sort of a no, and I just don't understand why we can't apply for another grant, even if it's only 10 and... You know, the matching part's there because the town's matching it with 200,000, so we're certainly matching any 10.
Well, a little bit too many times over there at the 1772 foundations.
I'm willing to beg.
Other groups that really just are not reacting.
And as far as money, I can add this to it. The old town hall next year, the society is definitely going to have to put in.
I understand. I understand there's other needs too, and I appreciate that, but I don't want to miss, even if it's only 10,
yeah.
I say only 10, that's a nice money.
We'll take 5,000 if somebody wants to give it.
Yeah, exactly. But every time I seem to get a no, we don't even want to ask, and I'm frustrated with that answer. So
Joel and they apply for everything that we qualify for, trust me.
Okay, because kind of Joel is saying no, that's sort of what I wish he was here. Okay, it's just plain... Ain't in the cards. We can't possibly get it. No sense applying for it. Is that what I'm hearing?
We apply. And we've hit a little, but it's certainly not enough to get.
Oh, I understand. It's not 200,000, but I just don't want to pass up an opportunity for something if it's available. I would think that would be foolish.
I'm relatively sure Joe Lindley will be applying for more grants because once the roof is on, the interior that was painted already
is.
The ceiling, I don't know if you got the pictures the last time. It's going to have to be redone.
I appreciate that. And we certainly don't want to lose this bit of our history. Thank you.
Okay. That answer your question, Steve?
I think so.
Okay. Shana? All right. So... on Thursday, I did add it to the Board of Finance agenda. I do need approval from the board to re-ask for the funds for the $200,000.
Do we want to ask for a specific schedule, or do you want to ask just for the basic amount?
You mean the schedule as far as this?
Yeah.
That would be part of financing and discussion let them discuss it. I mean, once the...
I move we request... from the Board of Finance, a $200,000 appropriation for the replacement of the old library roof.
Why don't we up to $200,000?
Up to $200,000, if you wish.
Second.
Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. It's on their agenda. Be there Thursday night, Joe. John,
that's it. Can we just, I'm sorry to go back on this. Do we need to include the total cost or just the principal? In other words, none of these are only $200,000 if you incorporate the interest requirement. The principal is $200,000. The interest takes, none of these are as low as $200,000 if you calculate the interest payments. May I amend my motion?
If you so wish.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we'll have to do another...
A new motion. I move that we request from the Board of Finance the appropriation of $200,000 in principal plus appropriate interest, which would vary based on the term.
Say that again.
So.
I'm sorry, prior to him making that motion, does he need to rescind his previous?
No, this will be an official. Let me finish and we'll see if you wish to. So I move we request from the Board of Finance $200,000 in principal for the replacement of the old library roof, plus appropriate interest on that.
Fees and interest.
Fees and interest. Plus appropriate fees and interest on that capital improvement.
Should that one say up to?
Up to. Thank you. Otherwise, I'm afraid we're not addressing the full amount that we're talking about.
Second. That's,
yeah, go ahead. Discussion.
I mean, the purpose is to make sure we include the interest.
Oh, no, I understand that, Steve. It's probably better to cover all the bases with that, and I'm in full agreement. I'm just wondering, how did you word that?
I can't say it again.
No, what I'm thinking is, we have a motion for up to $200,000
in principal.
And I'm wondering if it would be more appropriate just to add a motion amending that we include the, and worded in that fashion, add the fees and interest instead of creating a motion again with all of it and do it that way. I think that would be more appropriate.
More appropriate, that's fine.
Okay, that.
Let me withdraw my motion. If you withdraw your second, I saw.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's no motion.
So let me amend my.
We want to amend the motion that had been passed for the 200.
To up to $200,000 with the principal for the replacement of the old library roof, plus appropriate interest and fees on that capital improvement project.
That the first motion will include the.
In addition to the capital, additional interest and fees as necessary. Because those amount to as much as $130,000 in what the.
Depending on which avenue we go.
Term we take.
Can you?
I don't get.
Excuse me.
Every time I second it.
It's confusing.
Can you read back what he said?
His second motion was that we request from the Board of Finance up to $200,000 in principal for the placement of the old library roof plus appropriate interest and fees on that capital improvement project.
No, I think you got to take the $200,000 out of there. It's to amend it to include the fees and interest to the original motion.
Well, it's going to be in addition to the $200,000.
Yes.
$200,000 is only the principal part.
But you have the original motion.
Yep.
The $200,000.
Yes.
Up to $200,000. You want to include, amend and include the fees and the interest.
Why don't you do it? No, go ahead. No.
Well, I'm listening, so that's why I'm making more and more.
Please. I'll withdraw my motion. In a better sense.
In addition, requesting.
In addition to requesting.
Okay. It's similar to what I was just writing.
How are you going to word that?
I was just going to amend the end. And my thought, I was starting to write down amend and add to the first motion the fees and interest.
Necessary for the
To the cost of the project.
Okay, that sounds good.
Any fees and interest. There's a different word we can use for that.
Financing cost?
Yeah, you just said finance cost.
Which may be encouraged.
You want to read it?
Is that very much what you have? Can you see that?
So we'll amend and add, in addition to requesting any additional finance costs which may be incurred to the completion of the project. Make sense?
Yeah.
I'll make the motion.
Is that your motion? Yeah.
I'll make that amendment.
Second. First. Can you read that one more time? Amended it. Add in addition to requesting any additional finance costs which may be incurred.
Period. Which may be incurred.
Oh, that was it? I'm sorry. And who seconded that?
I will.
So you want the motion to read, Ken Bosley moved and Steve Herbert seconded the motion to amend and add in addition to requesting any additional finance costs which may be incurred. Can you read the first part of that motion though?
We'll just
call
second motion.
That was the one where we could put
$200,000.
Yeah, that was
$200,000.
I can read
the
first.
Up to $200,000 for the.
Okay,
up to. Okay, thank you. Yep. Okay.
Okay, all set?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Confused enough now? Okay. I'm also at the Board of Finance, so we're talking about the Board of Finance here. I will also be, if you remember, during the budget deliberations and so forth, when we asked for funding for finishing the cleanup of the Selectman's office and the files with the additional staff that the Board of Finance had to come back when the budget came through. After the budget was passed and just asked for money out of contingency.
I'm sorry, say that again.
For the additional help that we have in the Selectman's office.
Okay.
Cleaning up all of the filing and getting that back into control.
Okay.
Okay, which we have somebody doing that right now, which is doing that and doing a great job. The Board of Finance did not want to put that in our budget. They said to come back and ask for it out of contingency once the budget had been passed. They would address it then.
Okay. I don't recall that particular issue, but go ahead.
Okay. So they did not have a meeting in July.
Okay.
Okay. So we estimated the cost to finish off till December, the end of December, which is $11,000 thereabouts for additional labor to finish the files and cleaning up everything that is going on.
Will that finish it? Will that be done?
Should be done.
Seems like it's taking a long time. I'm not sure. I don't know the scope of the work, to be honest with you. It just seems like it's taking a lot of people hours to.
I
don't appreciate the workload.
We have number of years that the records had been in disarray and not filed, and oversight and We have somebody very talented that is bringing them back in, at the same time being familiar with the record. We'll also be contacting the state library for what we can get rid of as well and dispose of.
I mean, I admit, I don't appreciate the test.
No, it's very mind-boggling, you know, everything.
It was spending a lot of...
Man hours.
A lot of people hours trying to catch up, so this can seem like it's going on forever. Okay.
That was the estimated time to finish it out, and I will, with the consensus, be going back in front to move that money, just to get the, into, to cover that. Your thoughts?
You know, I don't appreciate the scope of the work there, so I really don't know what to put on the council.
Okay. All right, thank you. Okay, as we all know, we did do our interviews for the secretary clerk hire. We did offer to a candidate, which was Renee Rawinski, and she has accepted, and I am looking for a motion to officially hire her so she can start. So I'll make the motion.
I second.
Discussion? Anything?
I'm thinking.
Okay.
No, not for me.
Okay. No discussion. All in favor?
Yes.
Aye. Okay, moving on. Town maintenance custodial interviews and library evening custodian interviews. As you recall, with the hiring of the maintainer, we opened up a position at the library, which needs to be filled. So we did put an ad out, and at the same time, I also put out the for the town maintainer for the town building as well, figuring we're going to be getting the pool from both of them. With the people that are going to be applying, because the jobs are fairly similar. So I normally, in the past, for the custodian at the library, has been a mix of a couple people from the library, a couple people from the town side, and we do the interviews and hire somebody in for the evening custodian. I have not had a chance to talk with Allison on it. Recollection, looking back at previous meetings, the last time they hired somebody half a dozen years ago, they had Allison, the daytime head custodian, somebody from the library board. At that time, the executive assistant and the first selectman. So, your call. Who would you like to put on that?
Help me out. Are there two positions we're talking about here?
Yes, we are.
One for the library.
Town building maintainer that we got in the That's budget that we requested. Yes.
I'm against having one here. There are projects to be done here. Let's not hire a permanent person to do jobs that we need to catch up on. Let's hire specific contractors to do those jobs. But let's not hire a permanent person to do catch-up work, because then there'll be a permanent position that we're going to be paying on forever. Let's hire somebody to catch up. If they need to paint a room, hire somebody to paint the room. Let's not hire somebody permanently who will be on the staff forever. Let's not do that. Let's not do it that way. That's incurring a permanent cost that we don't need to do. Let's hire somebody to do the job and move forward. I don't want to hire another person that's on our staff forever. That's and committing ourselves to a job that's going to be on our payroll forever. I think that's wrong.
This is
not a huge building. Why do we need a permanent? I know it's only part time, but a permanent staff. I don't think that's appropriate. There's cheaper ways to do that. Cheaper and just as efficient ways to do that. Maybe more efficient ways to do that.
I believe that the title probably expands or explains a little bit more the reasoning. It's town maintenance, so it's not just catching up on projects, it's maintaining them after they've been completed, so that way we don't have issues to the point where we need to then spend exorbitant amounts in order to have an efficient town hall. I believe that that was the intent of holding the discussion to begin with.
I think having a permanent person, even though it's part-time, for a building that's just this size is overkill. Yeah, there is catch-up work to be done. Well, let's hire people who do the catch-up work. And then we have people come in, custodians that come in the evening to do that kind of work. But hiring a permanent person for a building just this size, I think that's crazy. That's a waste of money. Just my opinion.
We had this discussion during the budget season, Steve.
Yes, all right. In my opinion, then, I still feel that same way.
Well, I don't remember the opinion being that strong now. And that is my recollection. We talked about the maintainer. We had asked for 19 hours. They cut it back to 15 at the budget. We have a building that has been in disarray going on a dozen years. We do not have the staff. We have a contractor in here doing two nights a week, the custodial.
Understand that.
The Board of Finance gave us an additional money for that position, the 15 hours at night.
At the Board of Finance meeting?
Let me finish, Steve.
Please.
Let me finish, please. They gave us the money. We didn't ask for that position.
That's correct.
You and I, we've had discussions on this, and we were both of the opinion we were not changing and hiring somebody just because the Board of Finance gave us that. We didn't ask for it. We were in both agreement when we had our discussion at one of our past meetings. And we were in agreement for the 15 hours because that 15-hour position could morph once they do catch up and get this building and the gazebo and any other town building, as well as the park stuff, in shape, that they may be able to assume the duties of a night custodian. And I remember that very distinctly. That way we wouldn't have two people on the payroll. And I agreed with you on that.
No, I don't recall it quite that way, Ken. I don't want to hire permanent staff. I would rather do contractors to catch up, which is, I don't disagree with the fact that we do need to do some catch up. But to hire somebody permanently, I think that's the wrong way to go about it. And I make that clear. And I agree the Finance Committee changed things around. I think the proposal at the time was to hire somebody for the town garage.
No.
And they got kind of...
No, we had it in the town garage, Steve.
That's correct.
And we agreed that it was in the wrong place.
Agreed.
So we brought it back to the town building as a town maintainer. It was the appropriate place to put it in the budget.
Not in our preliminary meetings, we did not do that. That was something you brought up at the meeting. It was not part of our preliminary meetings when we were discussing the budget.
It was discussion, I believe, at a Board of Finance meetings while the budgets were going on.
It was at a Board of Finance meeting, that's correct.
And we agreed that the proper place to put it would be in the town, under the selectman's budget in the town, under building maintenance and so forth.
I think the dollars are probably appropriate, but hiring a permanent position, a permanent person, I think, is the wrong way to go about this. Nice to have the dollars there to do the fix-up. But why hire somebody permanently for something that, a building of size, you don't need a permanent person. If you own this as a home, it'd be a big home, but you wouldn't hire a permanent person to take care of it.
I wouldn't compare a town hall to a home.
I agree, it's not the same as a home, but if you had a home size, you wouldn't hire a permanent person. You might hire somebody to come in and do this or do that, but you're not going to hire a permanent person.
We have two of them at the library, Steve.
Maybe we should think about that.
Okay. And we're worried about one 15-hour person for the town hall that's been neglected for the past dozen years. All of our outbuildings and the town highway garage is another one of the town buildings?
My approach to that is to, I'm not saying, I don't want to neglect the building, don't get me wrong. I don't want to neglect the building at all. But let's approach it in a different way. Let's hire people to do the job and then get off the staff. Not hire staff that will be here for the rest of our lives. Hire somebody to come in to do the job and end the contract.
I think the discussion though was that we would eventually then not need to have a company coming in to clean up the town hall that we could then utilize the existing person who's also maintaining the building to take on some of those responsibilities. Am I wrong in that?
Correct.
With that?
Yeah, I understand you want to hire somebody and they'll be on staff forever. My approach is the opposite. I don't want to hire somebody who will be with us forever. I want to hire people to use as we need them. Different approach.
I'm sorry, when the job description for this position was sent to us on July 13th, did you receive any responses for the job? Okay.
So I took the job description that we had, I combined it with the custodian information and created the job description that covers all town buildings and properties. So it's a very broad task for 15 hours a week, which is anything from painting, removing tiles, to shoveling snow, to cutting grass, trimming trees, painting the gazebo, whatever it may be, putting mulch down around the building.
And didn't we have at one point someone doing that?
We had a person in here for 40 hours a week.
For 40 hours, Jamie?
Yes. Full-time staff with benefits. And this building has not been touched since he retired. And in the meantime, the highway department has been reduced in staff even further. And every time we take somebody from the highway garage to come up and do any maintenance in the building, it takes away from the roads and so forth being repaired. Because you need somebody that you just give them a laundry list of this, that, and the other thing, and let them loose and go do it. Whether it's trimming, weeding, whatever the case may be. It is long overdue in this building. We have to have some pride in our town buildings and keep them up.
I don't disagree with that
property,
at all.
Town property as well.
And town property as well.
The T building that's being neglected right now.
It's how do we go about doing it? What's the best way to do that? Hire somebody who's going to be with us forever, or hire somebody to do the jobs as we need them?
Well, I'm sorry, isn't it an at-will employee? Oh, no.
Yes.
Yeah.
So like what's the last time you let somebody go from this town?
Well, I'm young, so I haven't let anybody go.
Okay.
And in this case, we would be letting the
I'm just saying that budget season usually is the townspeople are usually the deciders of how we operate the town.
It was put in the budget. The Board of Finance agreed. It went to the voters. The majority of the board agreed with it, and we move forward. And we're here to fill the position. We have a vacancy over there. We have applications coming in.
Well, and there's a more efficient way to do that. That's what I prefer.
And Steve, if you are 100% correct in your thinking, between the time that we had discussed the budget and moved forward to this date, I wish you had brought in evidence or whatever to justify your case at this point. Anything to say, we don't need to do this. I can get it done for this. I can get it done for this. I can get it done for this. I would welcome it. But we've been doing this for several months with this budget going on, and this is where we're at. And all I know is, and this place is in desperate need of a complete overhaul.
I recognize the need for catch-up maintenance.
And Steve, you're in
but
business.
As I've said
Steve,
in the past.
Hang on. Steve, you're in business.
Let me finish. As I've said in the past, I recognize the need for catch-up maintenance. But I've also said in the past, it's not a surprise, that let's do the catch-up maintenance with specific contractors to come in and do the catch-up maintenance. For example, if this room needs to be repainted, bring in some painters to paint it. Don't hire a person who comes on staff, does catch-up maintenance, and then stays on staff forever. That's the wrong way to do it. Is this a surprise that you have not heard me say this before?
To some point, Steve, you did.
Some point.
I have
not this strongly, no.
Hearing it, though. That's why I'm...
You've been at our meetings.
Yeah, that's why.
No, you've not been to our budget meeting.
She's been to some of the meetings.
Yeah.
I missed the TBCC.
You've been to 3 out of 10 budget meetings.
Teague meetings.
You've been to 3 out of 10 of our budget meetings, Shayna.
There were workshops that I have been present for in the past and received packets to and caught up on afterwards. Went to the public hearings, the town meetings, the referendums.
We had 10 budget workshops, Shayna, you came to 3. Don't tell me you've been participating.
Well, we have a position to fill. The applications are coming in, and we'll deal with it as a board at that appropriate time.
All right, nothing about voting, but I'm just telling you. My opinion, I think it's the more efficient way to run this town. I know change is tough.
Change it. We don't have anything in place, Steve.
Yeah, I understand that. But once upon a time, we had somebody here full time. So let's
and the building was in good shape, and everything else was in good shape at that
time. There's a different way to do it.
And nobody works for whatever it is, $14.25 an hour that we have as a whole. Contractors don't. They come in, they bid a job, it's X number of dollars for it, and they're there to make a profit. And well above. And mark up the paint and the supplies and everything else that are associated with it.
Of course, they're in business. I understand that. But they do it efficiently.
That can be a matter of opinion at times, too. I've seen contractors work that are not worth the power to blow them up.
There are some contractors that are paid. That's correct.
So.
The item on this agenda, is it to...
I'm notifying you that they are the applications will be closing out Tuesday, next week. We will be going into reviewing the applications to hire. For both positions. And I was bringing up the interview committee, which was... Three from the library and two from, I gave you who they were. At that time, it was the executive assistant, the first selectman, and three from the library. Obviously, it's going to be, most of that person will be under the control of Allison, so having a library committee and Allison involved with the interviews is appropriate. And it's up to us if we want all of us on it, or who wishes to partake in it to make up the committee, I'm fine with it for the library evening custodian. Or we can use the same one and same committee and do the interviews on both.
For the library versus the town, not sure that I would know specifically what the library needs are, but certainly I know how to conduct interviews, so I'm fine with sitting on that one. I don't know necessarily if we have the same one, same hiring committee, if some of the library board members would want to sit in on the town maintenance interview.
Maintenance one, I would think that any members of the board, the highway department director, as he deals with a variety of issues.
Maybe someone from REC, because aren't they?
We can get somebody from, REC. I could take it from the tax department. We've used a variety. I could ask somebody from the public to do it as well. We have a building committee member here right now. John Rice could even sit on it if is appropriate. You know, I have no issues with that. It doesn't have to be all done by the board either, you know, to interview and come up. It could be a very mixed group.
Okay.
I would be inclined to ask the highway director. I'm looking at myself for the town side. It was mentioned, John, I don't know what kind of time you have. No, he ain't listening.
How many hours in a day?
You're retired.
Haven't we, years ago, I thought we had some hiring committee members that did include residents?
Sure.
I feel like that hasn't been in quite a while. Some members of the public were interested, and maybe two members of the public.
Could use anybody to give us a good overview. I have no problem with it. Usually, we always seem to tap the same people all the time. So if you wish, I will think of a few people that may be willing to volunteer, and I will have Marie email them to you when we can narrow it down. All right? Very good. Anybody have any other business? We're back to citizens' comments. Mr. Landry.
When I lived in Alaska, I worked at the University of Alaska. It was one of the higher-ups in the custodian service. We had 40 large buildings. I believe all of them were quite larger than this building, 78 floors. And I worked in every building, including the morgue. And I just want to say that I have a lot of experience on it, but the bathrooms are being cleaned twice a week. That is not enough. They need to be cleaned daily. You're playing with fire. All of a sudden, you're going to have some kind of sickness run through the town hall. The town hall will be down, catch a lot of flack. And I'll tell you what to do to check on the bathrooms. Get a black light, walk in, turn off the light, have your black light on. Anything that shows up white is filth. And I'll guarantee you go into these bathrooms, you're going to see a lot. They've not been maintained properly for years upon years. So why don't you do that? Get a black light and check out your bathrooms, including your new ones, and see how much filth there is in them, and then think, this is what we're subjecting our health to. Tell you, you're playing with fire. Someone gets sick and they find out this sickness originated in the bathroom, you're going to get sued. And I'll be there testifying for them. Because I don't even like using the bathrooms. I'm coming dirty from work. All right, thank you.
Paul.
A couple of comments. As your first selectman, you talked about the building being neglected for dozens of years. You're not new to this board. You sat here with Larry year after year after year. Steve, Mr. Selectman, Herbert, agree with you 100%. The mentality in this state and in this town, hire more help. You had the opportunity to reduce the town's budget upstairs, downstairs, but let's keep our empire building. Hire more people, like you stated. Let's get them on here for a lifetime. Yeah, they may be at will, but there's no will to get rid of anybody here. They only leave here one of two ways. Just because the Board of Finance gives you the money doesn't mean you have to spend it. They gave you grants for the Taj Mahal up on the hill, and now you're stuck supporting that building with very few students in it, and you're stuck. You got the money, you spent it, you overdeveloped. You have a distinct memory about discussions. Your memory seems a little foggy from the Board of Selectmen's meeting over at the Quinnebaugh Fire Station regarding the Renewable Energy Committee and regarding the Solar Advisory Committee and why the renewable energy folks didn't want to get involved again after they did their work diligently to get a solar project and have the school system stick it to them. And they didn't want to get involved. It's in the minutes. It's on the recording from that meeting. Larry's first selection. And he admitted that was the issue. that there was an issue with, they got burned and didn't want to come back, get burned twice. That was a very heated meeting. It lasted till past 11:30 at night. I tried to bring it to your attention. You were discussing bringing $11,000 additional funds to the Board of Finance. I wish you had voted to put it on as other business, which is your prerogative. The website. Here we are, end of August. Still don't have the files back on the website that were there as resources for the town. The website still is pretty lacking. If you're looking for people to come on commissions and committees, why are you contacting? There's more than 20 people that live in this town. And you're right, just what you said. You always call on the same people because you want the same results. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, you're doing a wonderful job. Yes, yes, yes. Why don't you put it on the website? At least a few more people in town might see that you're looking for members to put the time in for hiring, because they're going to be paying for it and paying for the rest of their lives. This building is not big enough to have full time. The library, you brought it up. Yeah, they have two custodians over there. Look at other towns. Go look at Dudley's library. Look at their budget for what they have for a custodial staff. They don't like that. The bad word in this town is volunteers. But they don't seem to mind volunteer firefighters. But you can't get volunteers to do other things. You should get them to save your life. But if you can have a paid position where somebody's friend gets hired on, because that's, here's what happened in this case. I've been hearing about this for years. Now all of a sudden somebody moves over. The website would be nice to get fixed and put out an RFP and get a contractor to manage it and get it put back to the way it needs to be. The information's not there. You don't have any recordings up. You've got mislabeled things. Other things don't work. You have problems with computers. Yeah, there's viruses out there. There's virus protection. We didn't see an agenda for this meeting. I heard it was on this evening. It wasn't on this afternoon. Wasn't on. You had stated that your commitment was that you were going to get the agendas for the meetings up on the website Friday before the meeting. That seems to have gone by the wayside. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Can I just pick up on something? Last two times, this room and most of these other rooms were painted with volunteers. One time near Annapolis, the paint was donated by Dunes Paint Shop. Next time, it was myself and a couple other people that painted most of these. Painted all the benches, because they looked horrible. I spent weeks cleaning that back room, organizing everything, getting rid of some stuff. It's a big spot again. You know, I won't come and do that again. You know, when you volunteer and you do something and you see your work just falling apart, pretty soon you say, what's the point? You know, so, I mean, there has been a lot of volunteerism here. You don't have to hire all of them. But good luck getting volunteers. So. Girl did a lot of this painting with Sharon. She had to do community service, so she was only kind of a volunteer, but she actually came in for more hours than she needed to do. But she said, oh, I'd like to finish up this job.
I remember when you cleaned the back room out.
When we first started, so it was about 6 years ago.
And it's full again.
It's full again. You know, I can give you a way. No one should be allowed to put anything in there unless they clear it and throw stuff. People just throw stuff in there. Have stuff that might not belong in there, that belongs in other kind of filing systems. You know, there's a bunch of maps in there, including the one that shows that secluded spot down at the mill. You know, is that the best place to have some or not stored? I don't know. I went through and made a list of them. I couldn't decide which ones we needed to keep and which ones we needed. So I feel a little bit both ways on the janitors. We need to have our own custodians in here rather than hiring somebody. And it needs to be on a regular basis. Because like I said, I had a lot of background in this. And if we'll come down with a black light, let's go in and I'd love to be there and inspect it with you. And I can point out everything. You'll see every bit of pee that's missed on the floor, in the walls. You'll see all sorts of stuff.
So, anything else? One more thing.
Al, thank you for the volunteer work that you do.
You're welcome.
You keep the outside looking nice. I really think that you seem a little biased against contractors. You keep saying the same thing over and over again about how contractors. You've seen terrible work by contractors. I'd like to make an appointment with you and have you come out and look at the paving on Wilsonville Road. That was done by the town. Not every contractor is poor. It does poor work. Not every contractor is bad. And not every town employee is great. And the workmanship we're getting isn't fantastic. Please, let's make an appointment. Come on out and I'll show you where the pavement that's supposed to be an inch and a half or 2 inches is half an inch, three quarters of an inch thick. And it's peeling. It was peeling 6 months after they laid it down. So all contractors aren't bad. This town has an affinity for not for wanting to hire more people, to get more friends hired. You see other towns going in different directions. Apparently Woodstock doesn't care about its employees, its residents. With their newest contract, you know, something very special here. It can only happen in Thompson when you look at other communities and what they do and how they manage. Thank you.
Anybody else? Moving on. Tax refunds. We have a lot of those tonight, especially after the tax season. A lot of reading tonight. Okay, I'll make a motion to refund A Car Leasing Limited, $69.68. Diedrich Babulitz, $217.08. Jordan Cody, $62.94. Jordan Cody again, $10.58. It's a duplicate.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Deborah Dillon, $20.32. Deborah Dion, $37.53. Deborah Dion, $12.01. Daniel Fitzgerald, $31.58. Honda Lease Trust, $254.61. Honda Lease Trust, $220.39. Brenda and Brian Johnson, $26.11. Kenneth Julian, $35.32. Arthur and Kathleen McLean, John Naylor, $1,749. Brenda Noonan, $7,263. Charles and Cynthia Aubert, $500. William Pelletier, $6.47. Daniel Petrie, $39.87. Corrine Philbrook, $47.63. Merrill Robbins, $118.52. Michael Tumini, $8.47. Sean Tucker, $11.65. The Connecticut Water Company, $16,086.52.
Have a parking lot?
No. Edward Vole, $7.46. And an explanation for the Connecticut Water. It was listed in error on the personal property declaration as an asset. Since I was already picking it up as real estate, they were being double taxed. This was just brought to my attention by them after the bills were issued this year. Please make sure the Board of Finance does not think that this is an error by our office, since the amount of reduction is quite substantial. So, do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you for coming.